Hello, everyone. Welcome to Post Hardcore and More. We got a pretty cool episode for your ears. This is the podcast for scene core boomers and swan core zoomers, of course. With me today, I have Pulses Va, if you follow them on Twitter.
Yo, that's us.
That is us.
Hey, what up?
Go ahead and, well, I'm Jake, first of all, in case you're a new listener. And go ahead and say your name and what you do in the band.
I'm Matt. I play guitar and do vocals.
I'm Caleb. I also do guitar and vocals.
And I'm Kevin, and I do drums and sometimes vocals.
Yeah. I realize my mistake when saying what you do in the band. I'm Matt. I do everything. I'm Kevin. I do everything.
Yeah, you know, we all gotta wear many hats.
Yeah, that's what I listened to Speak Into Existence, your guys' last album before the EP that just came out. And I don't know why I explained that to you guys. Yeah, I think you knew. But I was reading the Genius lyrics along with it, and I was like, well, damn, everyone. Caleb wrote this, and Matt wrote this, and Caleb sings this, but Matt wrote it.
There's a few of those that are pretty collaborative on there. Like, Kevin writes the bulk of lyrics, but, you know, we all get our lines in and stuff.
And there is one missing member, David, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's off doing Easter stuff.
Yeah. He's a good Christian boy.
Oh, no. Not here. Not in this Discord.
Nope.
All right. So I guess we should broach it. You guys did just drop an EP. You dropped in January, right?
February.
Yeah. And it is an EP, but it's got 12 or 14 songs on it.
Yeah.
12.
Yeah. Just sticking with the 12 tracks.
But they're pretty short. It's like 24 minutes. It's a really unique thing for the genre you guys are in. And I was to get right into it, like, what was the inspiration for that? Like, what made you guys want to make an album like that, EP album?
It was like around this time. So we started writing it near the end of the process of Speaking to Existence. And it was just like, you know, Speaking to Existence is generally a peppier kind of album.
Yeah.
But there's emotions we wanted to express on it, because we were all kind of just going through it at the time.
Yeah.
And that we didn't want to necessarily put on Speaking to Existence, so we were just like, okay, well, we still want to express these emotions. And then it was kind of around that time where basically the two main influences kind of was Silverstein's Short Songs,
mm-hmm.
which is a album they put out in 2012, and it's like the same kind of concept, basically, where they were just like, okay, we're going to like truncate our songs and like just make short songs more influenced on like their roots of like hardcore punk, not like post-hardcore necessarily, but like straight up hardcore punk.
Yeah.
So they did 11 originals and 11 covers, and all of the songs had to be a minute 30 or less.
Wow.
So, and it's like, that was one of my favorite releases they've done, even if it's like a mini project for them, pretty much. And then so that was the first one. And then, like, also at the same time, because we started writing it, like, in 2018, Kanye West had put out, he had produced 5 projects, including his own and, like, of other artists, where they were 7-song albums, and, you know, all of them being, like, around, like, 20 minutes or so. So
really?
It was just like, okay. Yeah. And they were great, too. Like, I know for me personally, like, Kid Sea Ghost was, like, my favorite album that year. So it was just like, I want to make a project that's, you know, feels like a full-length album, but is also short and easily consumed.
Yeah, I think you guys definitely succeeded on that front. It's really good.
Appreciate that.
It's cool to do something different, sure.
Yeah, when you guys posted that you were putting out an EP, I was like, oh, awesome. And then it had 12 songs, and I was like, what? What a an EP?
I feel like a lot of people. Yeah. Like, the first day was just like, this is an EP. This is an album. What? Like, what is going on?
Mass hysteria.
Why so fast? Yeah.
None of this makes sense.
Yeah.
Gotta keep you on your toes, you know?
People still call it an album. It's like, it's fine.
Yeah, it doesn't matter too much.
Okay. It's in the same aspect of just like, you know, because also other influences being like Touche More or like Orchid.
Yeah.
Like, those are their full length albums are that kind of length. So it's just like, you could say it's an album, but.
It's whatever. The EP kind of like matters when we're just like, we were intending to like do it and just be kind of done with it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like a main course thing for us to like do that kind of a sound. So that's why we were like, it's an EP. So don't, you know, think this is where we're going.
But yeah.
Maybe now that people like it, we're like, I guess, I don't know. We'll figure it out now, but.
Rethinking things.
Yeah. Like, to put
I was just going to say, it was just like, it's always how it is between us. We're like, before something comes out, we're always just like internally being like, man, people are going to shit on this. People are going to hate this, or blah, blah, blah. And so that was like kind of our feeling, you know, leading up to putting out Speak Less. We were just like, this is screamy shit. This is not what we're known for. People are going to not fuck with it. And
there's not a clean hook until track 6. So it's like, people are going to be like, nah, I'm good.
But they weren't. Yeah. So now we're like kind of thinking about, okay, was that like a main course thing and we need to start putting that into like our main sound or what? We'll see.
I'll just say I hope so. I like the screamy shit. I'm a screamy shit fan personally.
It'll come up again.
Probably.
I do have some basic dumbass questions, just because I don't know the answers. Where does the name Pulses come from?
It doesn't come from anywhere important.
Oh, okay. That's a dumbass answer. Dumbass question gets dumbass answer. I get it.
Honestly, it sucks. Like, we have got that before, and it's just, like, the only thing that we can say about it is that we wanted a one-word band name, and the period is from Let Live because they're super important to us. But
okay, yeah, you know, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
here
outside of that, there's not much.
I do have beef.
It was just like, oh, you go ahead. Sorry,
I have beef with you guys' name.
Why?
Because, well, it has a period on the end, so whenever I type the name, the next word is auto capitalized. And
I feel it.
You guys say that it's you want it lowercase. That's like the look to it, but on your album art, it's all uppercase.
Yep. Oh,
what's right. up?
It
this is.
Is
scandalous, in my opinion.
I think that was just the font. Just looked good.
It looks good in uppercase. I'm not gonna lie, but
it was kind of a like. So I designed like all the art and stuff. So
oh, really?
It was kind of a purposeful thing in a way to like kind of talk about that. Like, we had been doing lowercase stuff the whole time, and now it was capitalized because we were like serious, quote unquote, now. So,
okay, I get that.
And I mean, even in that was just like, I know, for example, we had a whole other art piece done for the album art, like for Speaking to Existence.
Oh.
And then, you know, things happen. And mindsets kind of changed during the process, so that's why we like shifted our whole aesthetic pretty much to what it ended up being.
It was almost something completely different for this whole album cycle, like not even close to what it is.
Yeah, like basically what it was gonna be, it was just like the art piece that we had for the second album was made by the same person who did the bouquet artwork.
Oh, and, would it be like more birds?
It wasn't bird, actually. It was. We need to put it out at some
point. We'll put it out at some point because it's just like it.
Maybe like
one, it costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, so we got to use it.
Maybe
somewhere.
Like a one off single or something.
Yeah. It's funny because the art was really expensive and then we ended the art we ended up using for the album. It was like, wasn't it just like,
it was free?
Yeah, it was like free, like stock free photo, and then Kevin did the text over it.
Oh yeah, that's free to use. It works out. You just gotta like know where to find something that no one's looking at.
Someone could go online and find that artwork and use it for something else, and
that's fine.
Yeah,
yeah, it's just a photo, and it spoke to us. You know, speak.
Yeah.
I was curious about that because I saw someone ask like, "Who's that on the front cover?" And you were just like, "I don't know."
Yep.
Someone was like, "I don't know."
I don't even know where that picture was taken. Like,
yeah,
like, is Speak Less the same? Is that also a?
That is also something that we just found. Yep. Free to use. So like, they're not going to get mad at us or anything, but you know.
Wow.
Don't know who that is either.
Yeah. It's
not the same person. Either.
Not the same person, yes.
Not even the same photographer.
Nope. Yep.
I was just like, man, this album cover is just like kind of iconic. They must have really had a vision with it.
Well, whoever took the photo, yeah, they are iconic. They deserve the credit.
Yeah. It was pretty much just like when we were doing it, because I don't know how Kevin found like the first, like Speaking to Existence one. But it was like Kevin and I were bouncing ideas about what the album art for Speak Less was going to be. And we were just like, opposite, dismal, snow. And then so he was just like, okay, go on the wherever the search website he did. No.
It was like one of like, person, I don't think it was like the first page of results, but we, you know, you can't take like the first page of snow because then everybody's going to have that. So you got to go dig deeper. Add some more keywords, and you know, we found it.
Remember when the Speak Less cover originally, because it was like more of a illustrated thing for the original Speaking Into Existence cover. I remember at one point, I don't know if we were actually going to do this or not, but the art for Speak Less was just going to be the same green from the illustration, but just a big box.
Oh yeah,
it was a white cover with a big green box on it, and that was going to be it. Really minimal.
Yeah,
I probably still have it like in the chat, way back.
Probably
like one of the old chats. But I think someone sent it as a joke, and then Kevin, I think, was like, "No, nah, that's it."
Yeah.
But then when the other art changed, we had to change it.
Yeah.
Is that not just the most DIY mindset, though, to find a free picture online and use it as your cover art?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, it's just like everybody does that with their, like, first release, I feel like. Literally everyone. Yeah. But you can actually make it good if you just, you know, sit down and take some time. Think about layouts and how things work. It's like, I'm glad that I have like grown up doing Photoshop like since high school and everything, and that was basically what my degree was in, was like web design and stuff. So it's like, I got it on lock on that. So I can take something that literally, you know, is just some stock photo bullshit and make y'all think that it was actually cool.
That's awesome. I mean, it is cool.
Yeah, I think so too.
And that was the whole thing too, because we were also just thinking about it. Just in the, we're always thinking about like the culture at large too. And when we were trying to figure out this album art, we were just like, okay, a lot of people, and especially people in our genre, will do like illustrated like artwork. And we were just like, okay, we're going photos.
Or
Kevin decided, you know,
we're
doing photos.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Damn. Yeah. You guys have hacked my simpleton fucking Swancore brain.
And it's like all those like Swancore arts look great, but it's just like, you know, they all start to like blend together after a little bit.
And again,
you know, they're all incredible, but it's like you see enough like DGD covers and a lot like Birds covers and everything, and then you're just like, all right, cool. Like, this is different because it's picture.
It stands out. Like, if you take any 2020 release like in this genre and line them all up together, you're going to see ours because it's the only like photo. Like,
and as another example, or not example more so, but just like us thinking about things more in detail than maybe we'll come off as. Because one of our things that we always want to exemplify with ourselves is that we are personable, homely, and like, you know, down to earth in a way.
Yeah,
so
humble.
Using humble, yes, that's another one. So it's just like using photographs is real,
yeah,
and we don't want to look fantastical,
Yeah.
Necessarily. As another example, and part of one of the locations we took photos for our latest like photo shoot kind of thing for promos was in front of a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
So it's just like the whole point of going in front of a 7-Eleven and taking photos is to be like, we're just dudes
making music and that's it.
Yeah.
That's literally it.
I grew up in Virginia and they don't have 7-Elevens here.
Oh, man.
So I was like, damn, these are my people. They're getting Slurpees. The cowboy is an alien Slurpee. It tastes delicious.
Yeah.
I'm glad you get that vibe because that is important to us.
Let's see. I got a few other dumbass questions that may not be pulled from Google.
Do it. Hey.
Hey, this isn't one.
On
this
that
is...
note, before you keep going, sure. Just because it's a fun story, you said that may or may not be from Google.
Yeah.
I drink juice. We wrote that song because we Googled how to write a song. And I'm not bullshitting you in any facet. Like,
oh
we
God.
Googled how to write a song, took the first like result, and it gave like 7 or 8 steps. And we followed every step and wrote that song.
Yeah, it was like, I'm pretty sure the first step was like, title your song.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just like, okay.
That's the first step.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was the first step.
And then it was like, okay, section out your song.
Right.
Like, write out the sections first.
Yeah.
And then we were just like, okay, so we're going to not do conventions. We're going to just start this song with the chorus and then do a verse and then do another verse and then do the chorus, do the R&B bridge. And then another verse, and it's out. Not even like another chorus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we just followed that list to a T, and I guess it
kind of worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That ended up being the second most popular song on that record.
So, shout out to finding things on Google, doing the dumb way, because you can get a lot of good things out of that. So, I just wanted to put that in there.
Absolutely. That's how I learned a podcast. Talk into microphone. Name your podcast first, obviously. How does everyone know each other? Like, did you go to school together? You meet online?
Well, with me and Kevin, I was born into his life.
I existed first. Caleb came 6 years later.
Okay.
I met David in high school. He was in my IT class in ninth grade, and we just kind of kept up with each other since, like, the IT program was, like, you know, the program for our school, so we kind of just traveled together. So I was in his class, like, every year for that. And then when I wanted to do the Battle of the Bands in my senior year of high school, he was just like, yeah, I play some bass. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Let's see.
Completely understated his bass ability.
Yeah.
I play a little bass.
And then ended up being like the best bassist I've known since still.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's just like, that's how I know him. And then we met Matt because he invited us to play his local festival.
Yeah.
If you want to explain that.
Yeah. Our friend Jeremy, who does like easy core type stuff as Wimbledon Alley, he sent me their music one night. And because he saw them at a show, and I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I had somebody drop off of our festival like last minute, and I was just like, oh, I'll just hit them up. And you guys did it. Yeah. And then we just kept up, and I played a few shows with them, just like playing like half the set on all the songs that like had two guitars whenever I was in town. And then, you know, I moved here, and they were like, all right, well, I'm going. And I was like, all right, cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Here's a very fun and original question. What's your creative process like?
One of us throws a bunch of shit on Guitar Pro, and then the rest of us throw a bunch of shit on top of that in Guitar Pro, and that's most of it, to be honest.
Yeah, most of the time.
Yeah, sometimes we have like, we're like, oh, we want to write this type of song. Like, we want to put this together with this.
Yeah.
And then we'll be like, sit down together and like work that out, or we like are like, we want to make a song that's influenced by this specific thing. But yeah, a lot of the time it's just, you know, send files back and forth, and we'll get together sometimes and put them together, and then somebody will write lyrics, usually Kevin. Sometimes we'll write lyrics together, but usually not. And then, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, like, lucky enough, it's just, like, all of us can write our own parts. And yeah. Everybody can, like, kind of write or help out writing each other's parts, too. So it's very collaborative overall.
Yeah, that's. I think that's really unique about your guys' band. It's interesting.
Yeah, I don't think any of us have, like, any egos about our parts. We're just, like...
I do.
Well, it's just, like, a lot of the time, it's just, like, you know... Like, if Caleb has an idea for both guitar parts or something, he'll put it in there, and I'm like, cool. I might, like, edit it a little bit, but usually it's the same, or vice versa. Or, like, David sometimes writes guitar parts, sometimes we write his bass parts, you know? Yeah.
When any of you are writing lyrics for... Do you write lyrics for a particular person, or you're just writing lyrics and you guys can decide who you want to do that part later?
Depends, because it's like all of that and also none of that.
Okay, yeah, I get it. Yeah.
So, like, there's times where I'll just write lyrics and they're just open, you know, for whatever.
Yeah.
Whether that be, like, whatever person or whatever song or whatever vocal style, or it's just, these are words. And yeah. Then there's times where I'll, like, write lyrics and I'm like, these have to be screamed, or, like, these have to be sung. And then I don't think I've ever written lyrics to be done by a person. Like, mm-hmm. It's just kind of...
Well, it's even more interesting now, because before it was like, if it was screamed, it was going to be Danny. If it yeah. was sung, it was going to be Caleb.
Right.
Now it's like Kevin and I were writing some lyrics the other day, and it was like, cool, I'm going to sing this part, Caleb's going to scream this part, and then I'm going to scream this part, Caleb's going to sing this part. And it was yeah. like, so now it's even more just like, whoever is playing the easier guitar part there can take the vocal. Like,
right.
Or if there's like a sound reason for it, but...
And I think we're not there yet in our writing for, like, the new stuff.
Yeah.
But it probably will end up going towards, like, I will write these lyrics, not necessarily for Matt or Caleb as, like, a person, as much as I think they have distinct voices. And if I want this phrased in a way with, like, this vocal texture,
yeah.
like, that's where it'll get, like, maybe... like split up, or, you know, assigned, like, a little bit in a way. Not because I hate that, like, that I just hate that I said that. It's like the only word that came to mind, but
it's just like choosing a certain instrument. You want a certain yeah. noise,
yeah,
because I just want it to feel natural, yeah. versus like whoever says it.
Well, and there's been times too where like a lot of the stuff you write, it's like you won't be set in stone on it. Like, we'll come in and it's like, okay, it flows better without this word. It needs an extra word. Okay, yeah, you can, like, pitch scream that instead of scream. Like, you know, like, that stuff gets, like... Kevin's usually there when we're tracking vocals, so he kind of, like, produces, I guess, in that way. Of like, okay, yeah, try it with this, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Or I'll do it myself.
Yeah, sometimes Kevin's like, nah, let me do it. And then he ends up on it.
Like, a lot of people don't... No, I don't know if people even realize, like, on Meet Me in Temecula, like, the verses are me, right?
It's all, well, it's
all, it's all of us.
It's you, it's,
but it's like,
you do a whisper, but then we also do, like, the gang vocals.
And then the aughts are me, though.
That the aughts are all three of us still.
Are there still all three of us? Yeah. Really? Y'all fucked me on that.
I didn't, the recording of Speak Less was so, like,
I think because I made you the lead, though, still.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just probably saying that for the mic.
You told me to do it.
Okay.
Well, when we were recording that, we were
I'm all fucking evidence of absence or whatever the fuck.
That's true. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. No. You are. That's all you.
But yeah, like, Meet Me in Temecula, it's like, there's all the vocal stuff that I guess Kevin didn't know that we learned. And then I didn't realize, because there's only one guitar part on that song.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize until, like, a week after it came out that Caleb recorded one of the sides of that riff. And I was like, oh wait, Caleb, you played guitar on this. He's like, yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Because I recorded two tracks, so I didn't know.
Nah, I was just like, I'm not gonna bloodsucker myself, so I'm gonna just record this.
Well, I think it was because originally it was gonna be you on drums, Kevin on vocals, me on guitar. So that's why I recorded both, and I thought that's just what ended up on there. But then you were like, no, I played. I was like, oh, all right.
Cool. A lot of things shift around, as you can tell.
Yeah.
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 It's a process.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which is funny because it's like, as you were saying before, versus like it can be everything, but also nothing. Because yeah, we'll say like, oh, things change around, but also a lot of things don't.
Yeah.
Because you'll hear about stories of like some bands of being like, yeah, man, we went through like 50 versions of this song, man. Or oh, we wrote like 50 songs for this record. No, we wrote 12 songs, and they all made it on the record. Probably a good 10 of those did not change at all from the demo process. Yeah.
No, it wasn't. Well, Bouquet was all 12 songs made it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then Speaking of Existence, I think, had like 15.
Yeah.
And a few of them, and then there was like a few, maybe 16. And then Speak Less was like 12 again, I think.
Yeah, I don't think we cut anything. I think it was just all...
There might have been a few like ideas that didn't make it, but it was mostly just that. Unless you want to count, like, I mean, like the title track on "Speaking Into Existence" was supposed to be for that, but we used it for the album instead. But yeah, so yeah, we don't do overkill too much. We just write shit that we like.
It's like usually, we're just pretty happy about how it ends up.
Yeah,
actually finish something.
If we don't like something, it gets cut pretty early. Yeah. Or it like stops at like 8 bars, and then we're just like, all right.
I'm a hater, man. It's just like if I don't vibe with something real quick, I'm gonna just not even bother anymore. Yeah.
And there's been times where we all have to like tell Caleb, we're like, this is good, stop.
Well, you know, artists not being happy with their work and all that.
Yeah, and I mean, I do the same thing. Like, I'll play stuff for them, and I'm like, yeah, this is, I don't know about all this, like, whatever. And then they're like, no, this is cool. I'm like, oh, sure.
It's probably easier to be happy with your work when it's a collaborative effort, because you can be like, I hate myself, but this guitar by this person is really good, and these vocals by this person are really good, so the song's still good.
Yeah. That's exactly why I can never make a solo project.
Yeah, it's hard to, when it's just you, to like force yourself to be happy with the stuff you're making. So it's nice to have people to show it to and critique and stuff. So.
Well, speaking of just you, you have Bad Luck Beats.
Yeah.
This is apparently Pulses/Bad Luck Beats. I just thought of this question, so I want to ask.
Oh, yeah.
When you're writing songs for Pulses, you've done like remixes and stuff. Were you thinking about those remixes as you were writing?
Absolutely not. No, I mean, like, I'll get like sometimes before we finish things, I'll get like an idea like of what I think I could do with a remix for it, but usually not. Like, usually it's like we finished the Bouquet ones. I mean, I wasn't in the band when they wrote that album, so that was all just me just fucking around. Yeah. Speaking Into Existence ones, I was just like, we finished the album, and I was like, well, I guess I'm gonna make remixes for these. and then yeah, like, I haven't done Speak Less yet, but none of the ideas for that came from writing it, so no, it's all after the fact.
Did you do the April Fools?
No, that was Kevin and Caleb did those.
Caleb
edited those.
I did that. We did that at 11 the night before. Yeah. So,
what does Hanasu mean? Is it speak? Or
it
something?
Means speak. Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it was just like, we felt like we needed to do a sequel because we did Nightcore remixes of Bouquet for the April Fools after Bouquet came out.
Yeah.
So that was in like 2018, and it was Hanataba, which is Bouquet in Japanese. So we were just like, oh, April Fools again this year. All right, we finally got new music out. Let's do it. And we just decided, like, yeah, the night before at 11 p.m., like, okay, well, we put out two records. So we're going to do Nightcore, Speak Into Existence, and Slow Reverb, Speak Less.
Yep.
I was wondering if you guys were going to do it or not, because you had mentioned it a while ago, and I was like, oh, yeah, tomorrow's April 1st. I wonder if they did it or not.
We literally, that was like the whole thing. It was just like, oh, it's going to be April Fool's. Well, I guess let's do this. And then we just hammered that out.
Yeah, just for some fun.
I saw somebody asked for us to put it on vinyl. I was like, bro. It's like, come on.
I do actually have a question about vinyl.
Yeah.
What's the process for like putting your music on vinyl and cassettes? Like, is that annoying to do? Is it surprisingly easy? Expensive?
It's expensive, but it is surprisingly easy, I think. But that's also, again, going towards the I design things like all the time, so it's not hard for me to like set up. But like, as far as like the setting up of it, like we use Solid Merch, and they do all that. You know, it's like I'm not talking to manufacturers or anything like that. So
you just make all the like graphics and the
sleeves and whatnot.
And you get to choose the colors and stuff.
Yeah, you get to pick the colors out of like what they have, and I mean, you could like work with them more, and I think we might try to do it in the future now that I'm like more comfortable with them as people and how their company works. But you can get like real into those splatters and splits and whatnot, but obviously that's more money because more product goes into, you know, making those. Like if you have multiple colors in the vinyl, you have to pay for like each color, you know, to be used. So that's why a lot of bands will do just the, you know, one color solid, just because it's easier to do.
Well, it's the same thing with like merch too. Yeah. Like shirts, it's like it costs, you know, past like two colors, it costs per color.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why you see a lot of like, you know, small bands with shirts that are like, it's a white shirt with black print or a black shirt with white print.
Yeah.
Because it's the cheapest way to do it.
Yeah, it's just like really the biggest hurdle of it all is just paying for it. Yep. And then, you know, that's one of the reasons why we like Solid Merch is because this is just an ad now.
Right. That's fine.
But it's just like, yeah, so they allow us to like pay for it in like in installments kind of. So it's just like we just pay for it to start, and then we pay for when they make the test presses, and then we pay the last time when the production of it all starts.
And the pre-orders help with that a lot.
Yeah, exactly. We're just lucky to be in a position that people care enough to pre-order, and it really just kind of enables us to do it. Because like when we did Bouquet the first time, that one was based like extremely on pre-orders because we weren't
as
big at the time. Like we didn't have the record. Like Speaking Into Existence really pushed us to having a lot more capability, but. So that one was like based on pre-orders like entirely. Like we weren't going to be able to do it. We were all broke and half of us didn't have jobs at the time. And
It was literally just the case of just like if we didn't get enough pre-orders, then it wouldn't have happened.
Right.
Or like because it was the campaign for it. So.
But it worked out. And, you know, pretty much from there, we were just like, okay, now we have like after starting to sell those like Bouquet records, that's why people make vinyl to make money. Just going to be honest. From that, we were able to do it, you know, going forward. You know, as we all know, I'm going to just do it. As we all know, if you make, like, five different vinyl variants,
you're
going
to get some money. I was about to fucking ask about that. So, like, are you guys about to drop six vinyl bundles you got by
absolutely
the $250?
if we, like, sell out of either of them,
then
like,
I'll make then another.
We'll make another.
That's the
like,
only way.
We still have, like, over 100 Speaking Into Existences left. We're not going to make another print right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only new variants based on like necessity. That's
yeah.
You know, anything further than that, I don't know. You get into ethics.
Yeah. Every time I see them drop like a big bundle batch of them, I just think about that guy that collects all their vinyls.
Yep.
And I'm like, this guy's getting fucked like every two months.
Exactly. I used to be that guy. Like like I collected variants like for a long time I stopped, I think, like at least for that band in particular, I stopped like Mothership era, I think.
Because
I was like, okay, this is too much. Because it was actually Artificial Selection, because they announced four, I vaguely remember.
Yes.
And so I bought the four bundle because I was like, all right, that's cool. I can buy four and that'll be all I need. And then they kept announcing new ones. Like, and they got up to like what, 10 or 12 or something like that.
Final, it was like 15.
Yeah. So, it was like once they announced 10, and not that I was buying them because I didn't have all of them. I think I bought like six.
Yeah.
But once they announced that there were going to be like 10, I was like, no, this is fucking stupid. And I sold like half of my variants.
Damn.
So, because I was just like, I'm not chasing this. Like, this is not worth it. Like, but back in the day, they used to have like each album had like four or five tops.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, I can do this. It's not terrible.
Especially over the, and then there would be four or five tops. and that would be over the course of like 3 years.
Right. Yeah. Over the course of like the existence of just, oh, okay, this one sold out after a year. Here's another one, you know? Yeah. So
the
not
bullshit
here's
ones.
10 on week one. Yeah. Know? But
the bullshit ones back then were the fucking store exclusives.
Where, oh yeah,
me and my friend found an FYE, what do you call it, mothership, and I found it first. But he's like, "Oh, there's only one," and I was like, "Man, you can have it." I was, like, I'm not.
Yeah,
that's when I decided I'm not gonna collect all these.
And it was a combination of like all those variants, and then also when they put the instrumental variant behind the VIP paywall.
Yeah.
I was like, "Fuck this."
Yep. Because it's like I wanted
it was VIP. It was, and it was like that was the most expensive VIP they had done. That was $100 VIP,
right?
And they put the instrumental, which was the only way you could listen to the instrumental
at that time
for like a good year.
Yeah,
and they put it behind that paywall. I'm just like, fuck y'all.
15 vinyls of arse. I can't imagine an actual worse sell.
Yeah. Well, how many do they have of Afterburner now?
A lot.
They have about the same of Afterburner at this point.
Let's get there.
It's like, and then I know like the rules for like charting has changed. Like I think that was last year or like 2019,
pretty much like right when Afterburner dropped.
Yeah, so like they changed the rules in that like if you do a pre-order or something, it doesn't count for Billboard sales until they get it. Until
like the first week sales.
Yeah, like the first week sales until they actually get it. So you can't do this shit where you have 12 variants go out and they're all pre-order, but you want them to count as first week sales because that's what they did before. Mm-hmm. So now you can't do that shit. So now they're doing this thing where they're not like putting vinyl up until they have it. And then they're releasing the vinyl week by week. That's what like Hail the Sun's doing. Really? I'm not like, it's not me shitting on them. But
yeah,
this is just people like tactically doing this thing with
it's
variants.
The label game, really.
Yeah, it's the label game. Like that's what they want to maximize, you know, profits because capitalism, whatever. But so like what they'll do is they'll put up two, right? And they have them, so like they're gonna ship them out, but then those sell out because as they do, and then they put up another one the next week, and then the next week or the next single they'll put up another one, and
the
then they'll keep
one,
doing
the,
that.
The Tillian one did two, and they did a third one like 2 days later, and they did another one
right
2 days later.
Yeah, it was like, so it's like if you can stagger it and force people to buy them because they think that's all they're getting, then that's how you're gonna get that sale instead of like dropping all of them at once.
And then that's how you get the whales also to spend more.
Yeah,
it's just like
they don't know when.
To, yeah, they don't know when, and you're also not spending as much like each individual time. You know, it gives you a little bit of pause being just like, okay, am I really going to buy four vinyls right now and spend this kind of money? Or it's just like, okay, I buy two, and it's just like, and then later you get the new one and it's like $20 again. And you're just like, oh, what's another $20 now?
Right.
You're just spending just $20 now instead of the $100 up front.
Right. And so that is why we'll never do variant stuff because we just can't get caught up in all that shittiness.
Yeah. If you want another variant, buy the record.
Yeah. Sell it out.
And sell it out.
Tell
and
your
then,
friends to go buy a record, and then we'll once it sells color. Out, you can get another cool splatter thing.
Yeah.
Well, make a bootleg.
A bouquet splatter would be sick.
It would be.
If you did like the splatter with some of the colors from the flowers, that'd be cool.
True.
But
splatter vinyls are always cool.
Oh, I was saying, I was just like, go make a bootleg.
That too. You can make a bootleg.
Yeah, yeah.
We wouldn't be mad at that.
Yeah, it's just like, if you make a bootleg, make one for us too.
Yeah, just send us four of them and then make yourself one.
Yeah, sorry, didn't mean to bring up DGD.
Oh, no,
you're good. It's inevitable.
Yeah. That's what happens when you're obsessed with them for like 4 years, I guess.
No, I get it. I mean, it's like I've said it almost every time it comes up, it's like I've been a fan for like a decade now. It's you can't escape it.
It's part of the DNA at this point, you know.
Yeah. Casey, my co-host, I'm sure you guys know him. He's Lonesome Lamp on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He
gave him a lesson the other day.
Oh.
Oh, you did?
I gave him a Guitar Pro lesson the other day.
Cool.
You gave him a lesson on Guitar Pro? You never mind.
Yeah. Listen,
what you know about Guitar Pro?
Enough to show him how to do it for an hour. I told him straight up. I was like, I can tell you what I know, and it will at least get it so you can write songs in there. And he was like, cool. And the first thing I was like, there's a, I'm not trying to out him right now, but I'm like, yeah, so on this tab over here, he's like, oh, I didn't even know you could make that pop out. And I was like, well, see, there you go. There.
You're getting your money's worth.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. You know, Casey's a fast learner. He's going to be one of those guys shredding guitar for, like, random bands in studio, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely.
He's working right now, but I asked him if he had any questions for you guys, and he said, what is your favorite Danny Brown record?
Oh.
Well, I have not listened to all of them, so I will just get mine out of the way, but I think... Is it Triple X? Is that what's going? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Triple X is my favorite, I think. Because I just listened to that the other day, and I was like, fuck, this whole thing goes.
It's tough, because, I mean, it's either going to be Triple X or Atrocity Exhibition.
Exactly.
But it really depends on the kind of the mood, because it's just like, Atrocity Exhibition is some wild shit. Like, that shit is weird as fuck, and I know, like, this is, like, artistically just, like, fucking incredible. But I'm not listening to that all the time. Whereas Triple X is, it, like Matt said, it, that shit just goes, and it goes the whole time.
It's long as fuck, but it doesn't feel like it is.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
And especially the latter half, and when it gets into the introspective more half of it, is also great. So it's just like, yeah, you really can't go wrong. Because then now I'm feeling bad, because like, I love Old.
Old is great, too. It's Triple X, though, for me.
Yeah,
like I have to, but it's like Danny Brown after Triple X has not put out a bad record. So,
is that new? What's the newest one called?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know
that one was good too.
I love like, that one.
Yeah, those are the only two I've listened to in full. But
yeah, because that was him just saying like going back to the basics, kind of for that like the latest one, and I think that's also cool. And I know like Q-Tip executive produced it.
Yeah, that was good. Get that boom bap feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
Good artist,
all around great.
Yo, I just hope he better still do it, because I'm pretty sure he still. We should get quadruple X.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I forgot about that. Yeah,
quadruple X. 40
yeah. This year. Yeah. Yeah, it's been 10 years since 30, and that was the whole reason behind it.
He was 30.
He was 30. You know, so 40 this year.
I gotta listen to that Brockhampton song he just did too. Yeah, I heard it was good, but I don't know.
I also need to listen to fucking Black Milk.
Oh yeah, Black Milk and Danny Brown. That's a good EP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Danny Brown segment.
Welcome to the Danny Brown podcast.
Yeah.
That's the and more. Post hardcore and Danny
and
Brown.
And Danny Brown.
Yeah. Yeah. I liberally use the and more section.
Yeah,
that's, you allow yourself that exactly. You know that range.
You don't want to get yourself caught up.
No, I don't want to fucking talk about post hardcore 24/7. Post hardcore fucking sucks, dude.
For real though. Yeah. Why would you even make music like that?
Yeah. I be asking myself that all the time.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, why don't we just make, like, pop punk?
Exactly.
Yeah. Or pop punk. Like, I tweeted last night. I was just like, Pulse's LP3 is going to be neon pop punk. And, you know, it just gets you thinking.
I feel like you guys have the versatility to where you could do that, and people would be fine.
I appreciate that. I hope so. We'll see.
We got to get John from the main on a song and make it neon pop punk to get his cosign, and then people will
cheer. Yeah.
Yeah, I just like, I feel like people aren't gonna know where you're going next. Like, is it gonna be regular speaking?
We literally
into
just talked about that last night too.
Really?
Yeah, we were just like trying to like think about like writing and stuff, and we're just like, okay, well, Speaking Into Existence did that, Speak Less did that, and I'm like, well, what do you do after that?
So, you guys are,
well, we know what we're doing after that, but yeah. It's not going to be new music per se. That's all I got to say.
You guys are moving on from the Speak epitaph, right?
Like,
someone call it a trilogy. I'm wondering where that third one is.
Yeah, that third one. I don't know. Like, I guess
they said it was the remix.
They counted the remix album as part of it, which is fine. You know, yeah, I guess it does have.
But then whenever
pieces
Speak Less remixes come around, it's gonna be one of the quadrilogy. What's the quadrilogy?
Maybe
I don't know. What's four?
It'd be quadrilogy.
That's interesting.
That's a cool word.
Are there what's a popular quadrilogy?
I want to say Alien franchise.
Okay. I gotcha. Because like I feel like it's just like an unused word. Like we don't talk about quadrilogies.
Yeah, I think like Alien through Alien Resurrection is considered one whole story arc, kind of.
Okay.
It is a word. Yeah.
This is a
pentilogy.
It's tetra.
Tetralogy.
Is that
for five?
It's tetralogy.
Tetralogy.
These are all great album names. I'm just saying.
For real, though.
Yeah. They're really not.
Yeah, that's some prog shit.
Yeah.
That is some prog shit.
That's like the contortionist.
That's exactly who I was thinking of.
We're just going to let David write our next record and call it Quadrilogy. Just get the prog shit going.
I'm down for it.
Yeah.
You never know. We'll see.
So, here's a question. I have those still.
Twilight is a quadrilogy. I just looked it up. It's a popular quadrilogy.
God damn it.
What is Harry Potter? Because that's got 8 movies.
In movies, it would be an octilogy.
Octilogy.
All right, well, you can go on with your question. I just saw that and felt like chiming in with it.
No, it's important information. I don't think this interview could go on without it. So I have a collab question. Who would you guys want to collab with in terms of post-hardcore, swancore, blah 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 core type scene? And then who would you like to collab with out of any genre?
I've been saying I want Rico Nasty on a song.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be a cool fit. She's from Maryland.
Yeah.
Got to make it happen.
Are you from Maryland?
We're close to Maryland.
I mean, it's DMV area.
Okay.
Yeah.
We rep each other out here.
Yeah. Maryland, D.C., Virginia, those are all kind of...
I hate Maryland.
Go on order.
Damn.
Damn.
I don't fucking like crabs. I'm going to be honest.
He gets mad at Old Bay.
Yeah.
That Old Bay is too spicy.
But yeah, I mean, that would be my like outside of the scene one. In the scene, I don't know. Fucking.
Just say it. It's okay.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
I'm trying to think of one. I was gonna say. I guess like I would love to, because he doesn't do that many features, and I think it would be cool. Like, the guy from Enter Shikari, Rao, would be.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be cool.
Is it pronounced Rao?
I think it's Rao.
I thought it was Rue.
I don't know. It's one of the... He's British shit.
Yeah. Fucking... I hate British, too.
Well, his full name is... It's either Routon or Rootin. That's how it's
really?
Like, written, and I don't know how that's pronounced either, so I just...
He's got a tweet out of him or something.
Yeah.
What you got, Caleb?
One that comes to mind immediately is, Dow Boys.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
Die on Mars is ridiculous.
What about outside the scene?
Let's see. Outside the scene. I always say that, and it's so unattainable, but Pharrell.
Yeah.
Pharrell. Or Timberland.
Pharrell and Timberland produce our next record, please.
Inside the scene, I don't know. I could just go with, like, an easy one, but I'm, like, trying to think of something that's just, like, kind of unexpected, but I don't know.
Blow my socks off.
I'm just gonna go with Kurt Travis because that would be cool.
He'd be awesome.
Yeah.
He just seems like an awesome guy.
He does. Like every time we've talked to him and like we opened for him a couple times and he's always been cool and like we just chat like half the night and everything. So
I think Good Noise Podcast got an interview with him. I was bastards. That. I think either that or it was an April Fool's prank.
Demo Team did.
Demo Team did.
Demo Team?
Demo yeah. Team. Just
okay, I'm a moron.
Good Noise got the wiggles, though.
Yeah.
That shit was weird.
We are 1 degree of separation from the Wiggles. No, I'm changing my answer. I want the Wiggles on the track, on the Pulse's track. Fuck it.
Outside the scene, Charlie XCX.
Oh,
that would be so insane. To me. Yeah.
We have talked about in general, just speaking of Charlie XCX and Rico Nasty, of just having like more like women on some songs.
Yeah, that's a goal.
Yeah, so we got some good, you know, friends that are women that make good music that we'll probably have on tracks at some point.
It's just like, I'm sure, you know, we'll get Sierra on another one.
Oh, yeah.
At some point. Charlene Joan.
I would love to have Ash from Pink Shift on a song.
Yeah,
I think cool. She would sound sick on our song. But, I don't know.
Yeah. All up in the air.
Yeah. It's just like, that's always been a goal at this point. I feel like, just want to start collaborating even more, kind of. It's like, we already started kind of on that with, like, Speaking to Existence with the four features that we had on that.
Yeah.
And they all fucking killed it.
Yeah.
And love them all dearly. And then, you know.
We had Tyler on Speak Glass, too.
Exactly.
Which was cool. That dude.
But yeah, it's just like, I always love just like the, especially like as an example, like Kanye, is like how he uses a lot of his features sometimes. It's just like, just as another voice, as another texture. And it's like, even if it's not even necessarily like, oh, give him a whole verse or whatever, but just like, like add them into the palette.
Yeah.
I love that you guys had all those features on there. I think features are underutilized.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's odd how I feel like the scene gravitated away from features, because we all know, or at least, I don't know, we all know, I all know, that, like, you know, back in the day, Garrett Rapp, Johnny Craig, Tyler Carter, we're not, whatever, you know, used to be on, like, everything back then, you know, even like from, you know, the big tracks, like, or like Kellen Quinn to like the big tracks, Caleb like Shomo. King for a Day, Caleb Shomo,
on everything.
They would be on like the big tracks, but also like the, you know, struggle bands too.
Hands Like Houses had,
Hands Like Houses, both
Tyler
of them.
Carter on the song.
Yeah. So it's just like they used to do a lot of collab tracks, but I feel like for some reason it died out in like the late 2010s, but I think people are kind of coming around to it again.
Yeah.
So.
I know, and as an example, it's just like how I always see like how people still talk about King for a Day at this point. And
that record's a
song.
Yeah, that record's about to be 10. And I always make the joke where I'm like, King for a Day was the last like big thing to happen for this scene. And that's why people still talk about it, because how important that collaboration was.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been anything that has eclipsed it since.
Yeah.
Or has even matched it.
There really hasn't. Nothing's came that high. Like, especially collab wise. Like, no two huge massive bands.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess like Bring Me has came close.
Bring Me did do it. Like, I think with
people were talking about that Baby Metal feature for a while, but
it
still wasn't King for a Day. Like,
no, it's still not the same impact. I mean, it's just like stuff like, I mean, like Isles and Glaciers is still like an important EP, even though that was forever ago. You know. Or, like, even just Drugs, like the band, you know, them coming in together was still important.
Yeah, like, when was the last super, like, they were pretty much, like, the last.
Well, now the super group that, that's, see, we're going to talk about that in a second, but let me get there. that super group, Anthony Green,
Whatever. Sound of Animals Fighting? Or no, the new one.
It's new. Like,
this
year.
The fucking whatever.
Yeah.
That's
like
cool.
That. I'm like, I want that to blow up. Because I want people to realize that, like, we can do these things still. And so, going to what Caleb said, the CU Space Cowboy, If I Die First song, crazy cool. Because I want bands to, like, fuck with each other again.
Yeah.
Because I feel like bands were just not fucking with each other for a minute there. Where we were like, oh, we all got to blow up by ourselves.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys. And I'm just like, no, we can lift each other up. We can do splits. We can, like, do collab songs, do features.
Features,
like,
don't just have to be a way to sell your record.
Exactly. Like, we can just make some
cool shit. Like, you know. And, yeah. It's like, you can get that one feature on your record to sell your record, sure. But, like,
yeah, like Max Bemis.
Exactly.
Max Bemis, But, like, you know, then just throw some, like, what bands you tour with a lot?
Put your homie on the track. Put them on.
Well, that's like Action by Don Broco. That was such a big deal.
Yeah,
it was like,
that was huge for me.
I like that song a lot.
It was so good. And I like that they put out a version without them, too.
Yeah.
So it was like, I don't know.
They can just do their thing.
It's the post-hardcore posse track.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is off topic. Is Beartooth like a Christian band?
No.
No?
They're just not a good band.
Oh, no!
God!
Okay, so...
Matt likes Beartooth.
As the resident person in this band that does like Beartooth, you're not entirely wrong. However, some of the shit bumps. But no, they're not a Christian band.
He's not even drinking.
I'm drinking water.
He's still spicy. Out of pocket.
Because I was listening to that album with the guy flowing off the floor. I don't know what it's called.
Oh, yeah.
And I was this man's talking about God a whole lot.
That was early, because it was still on the heels of Attack Attack, and Attack Attack was pseudo Christian. So I think that's where that came from.
That album has some pretty good fucking songs on it, though.
That first EP and that first album are great, and then the second one is not, and then the third one's okay.
And Anthony Fantano likes Beartooth now. I'm not interested.
He likes the new songs. I'm gonna be real. I did not like the new singles. But Fantano's always like that. He did that with was it Afterburner that he was like, "This is kind of cool."
Yeah, he said it was okay.
He said it was fine, but he still gave it a 4.
Yeah.
Oh, did he give it a 4?
He gave it a 4.
I mean, that's the highest he's rated a DGD record.
But he was praising Will Swan's feature on, what was his name? Trippy Red?
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah.
And it's like, you've been saying you hate his noodly guitars.
That was Will Swam.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Will Swam.
That was Will Swam.
A totally different person.
Yeah. I love this, by the way. I fucked that up. That is hilarious to me.
I have no opinions on Beartooth, really, so that's why I was quiet.
I have no opinion past what I said. I know that's an exaggeration, but I'm not. This is not my
thing. They are that one band for me where I'm like, I understand that this is basic as shit, but I fuck with it.
See, for what it is for me, I always say it's like they're the Foo Fighters of the scene.
They are the Foo Fighters of the scene. Yeah, 100%. But I like the Foo Fighters sometimes.
Exactly.
They have some songs that I really like Beartooth, and then they have some songs that I'm like, this is kind of mid.
Yeah, it's like for me, all I need is the color and the shape. I don't need any other Foo Fighters.
That's a true take. That's what it
I'm
is.
Over here. I'm not far off of that.
It's the equivalent. It's just like, I've heard a couple of songs off that EP. I'm like, this is kind of hard, and that's all I need. And I don't listen to either of them often, but I guess if you put them on, I'm not going to be mad necessarily. I will question you. I'll be mad.
You guys use TikTok, and that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I haven't been posting as much in the past few weeks because I'm zoomered out. But I'll get back to it. I've still been posting one a day, but I was doing 2 and 3 a day for a while because that's what TikTok likes apparently.
Do you think that's brought a lot of people to the band that otherwise wouldn't have seen it?
It's interesting because we have 1,200 followers on there now, and a lot of them didn't come from our other socials. So I think it has. I don't know how many of them are actually going and listening to our stuff, but I know some of them have. So I think it's been worth it, at least.
Yeah. But any new avenue that's got people on it, people really should just pay attention to it.
Yeah, it's like at this point, it's like there's even if you're not going to post as much as we have, it's like you might as well be on there. At least do something with it because it is the most popular social media app right now. So it's like if you're not using it, you're missing out.
Gotta adapt with the times.
Yeah, and you can just put stupid shit on there, and that platform rewards the dumbest content.
I love that about it. That's my favorite.
And it's great. You can sit there for hours planning out a TikTok and it'll flop. And then you can film some shit in 2 seconds. And then it's you get I took the clip of them playing at Buffalo Wild Wings a long time ago. And I put the fucking Denny's clip before it. And then I put our clip.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
And that was pretty much it. And it has 30,000 views on there. And it took me 30 seconds. And I only did it because Kevin posted that clip on Twitter, and I was like, I can use that. And that did well. But then, I did that whole series about the influences and shit, and they all got 100 and something to 300 and something views.
The actual content that we want you to pay attention to.
So it's just like, it's like whatever. But then, you know, we had people on that, the Buffalo Wild Wings video asking what song it was that we were playing and stuff. So it's like, it does, you know.
It works. It helps.
I think that's the difference between, like, YouTube content and TikTok content. Like, when you're on YouTube, you're usually seeking something out. You don't really let stuff come to you. I mean, me personally, that's not how I do it. On TikTok, you just scroll and whoever the fuck pops up. So if, like, a band inspiration post comes up and I don't know the band, well, I don't really give a fuck.
Well, no, that's the thing. It's like, and we have had people be like, oh, I'm going to go add this song on Spotify. And I'm like, cool, but it's not many. But, you know, but then on the other hand, it's like, you know, I'll post the ones that do surprisingly well are the ones where I'm just like, hey, do you like this long list of bands? Maybe you would like us. And then people for some reason like that. I'm just like, all right. And then there's like,
I know that thing.
And then there's bands on there that literally just like post their music video over and over and over again. And that's fine. But like, I wouldn't do that, but it works for them. So it's like, whatever.
See, I think the other thing is like, at least for me, the TikTok is not strictly a marketing tool. It's more just to like shoot the shit with people, you know, because
extra content.
Just extra, like, it's the stuff that we should put on a Patreon, but we're not. So I mean, no disrespect to anybody that's using Patreon, because you need to get your money however you want, but it's just like, I don't know, just another way to just talk, hang out, and see what we're doing.
It goes back to what Kevin was saying earlier about, like, or Caleb, you both said, like, just being personable, being like down to earth. It's like, we're here, like, we're not, there's no wall between us and you, just come say hi. Like, we're just fucking around listening to music on TikTok. Come say hi. You know, dumb shit. So
that's it.
Here's a wild thing about Patreons. If Dance Gavin Dance dropped a Patreon tomorrow,
oh my god,
they would be making so much fucking money.
Yeah,
I'm surprised they haven't.
Like,
all they would have to do is let John run it.
Yeah,
just stupid shit like he did the other day.
Yeah,
like, the reason why they don't is because they don't actually make extra content.
No, they don't.
Or, like, I was even thinking, like, if DGD did a podcast, like, that would be such a source of revenue.
Killian's going to be the scene Joe Rogan.
Oh, no, don't say that. That's fucking cursed. But also, you're completely right. I agree.
It's okay. People can't at him because he said that.
Just comment on your recent.
He's gonna remove the whole podcast.
Let's see. Do I have
Harambe?
Any... all right.
Talk about Harambe 3 years after the fact. Fucking dumbass.
All right, let him ask us some questions. I like
Harambe memes.
Yeah,
Harambe means 5 years. Fucking
one of these
later.
Times, someone's gonna clip one of these of us like talking about them, and then we'll be blackballed for the entire scene.
It's fine. He already blocked me, so it's whatever.
No. So I take it you guys weren't invited to Swan Fest yet.
No.
We'll do it.
It's okay. If we ever got that offer, I would absolutely do it. But I'm not looking for it. It's probably not coming.
It'd be awesome, though.
It would be.
It'd be fun.
Absolutely.
I would love to go do it, but like, we could also just go play in California. That'd be cool, too.
Yeah. That's the plan, too.
That's the main goal, really.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys feel the pain as East Coasters knowing Swan Fest exists. It's like, well, I like all those guys. I want to see them all together epic 2-day festival.
Like, all of those bands existing out there, it's like, I would love to go see Wolf and Bear regularly.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know. Who else is out there? That's like,
especially because a lot of the smaller ones can't make it over here, you know, very often.
I mean, like Strawberry Girls.
Yeah, Strawberry Girls. Even they, like, Fall of Troy doesn't tour anymore. It's like, I would love to go see Fall of Troy, but they don't play outside the West Coast anymore.
I saw them.
They do sometimes.
Yeah, they were at Cincinnati a few years ago.
Yeah.
I know they did more recently. I know more recently, but it was just like the closest date for us was like in Philly because they play Voltage Lounge.
Yeah. And it's like a lot of the time.
And I was like on a weekday, so it was like I can't get up to Philly.
On a weekday.
And they'll just do like short little runs in like Sacramento and like LA and stuff. It's like, all right.
And it sucks especially because honestly a lot of our audience is not here. Like apparently our biggest like city audience wise, not even on the West Coast, it's Chicago.
Really?
Chicago?
I don't see people like adding us from Chicago that often.
Yeah, but apparently, yeah, if you go look at our Spotify metrics, yeah, the
it's
most
Chicago
popular
and
Chicago.
Texas.
Yeah,
Texas. Like a bunch of Texas cities.
Which that I see a lot of on like social media, but yeah.
And then like California.
Of course.
Around there. But it's just like, yeah, the East Coast, you know, they don't fuck with us.
Florida and Georgia do.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's true.
Florida and Georgia, you know, like we get a lot of come to Atlanta's, a lot of come back to Orlando's.
When I say that, also mostly it's kind of just like basically our area does not fuck with us.
Virginia, Maryland, don't care. They don't.
Florida? Florida is horny for post-hardcore music. They fucking love post-hardcore.
Down there too. It's like,
yeah, Happy Hour, I Met a Yeti, Cat Company, all three of them down there.
Aren't Dow Boys from Georgia too? Like,
yeah, they're Georgia.
Too.
Yeah.
They got a lot of good shit down there. But...
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's in the water.
It's making Seder in Georgia?
Yeah, Seder's in Georgia, yep.
Yeah. I don't know.
And it's like you would think, you know, DC is the hub of post-hardcore, and yet we don't have any of that anymore.
No, we don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the traditional sense.
I mean, I don't know what our scene is now after COVID.
Yeah, it's dead. That's what.
Well, yeah, it was already pretty dead, and now it's like I don't know what bands are still around. Like,
honestly,
I know which bands we're friends with; they're still around. But,
I don't
even know if that's them. It's just like not all of them are really active.
Yeah, they're just like either passively working on stuff.
But it's just like, yeah, I'll see like posts like on my memories or whatever, being like, oh, that band that we played a show with, yeah, they're dead. They're dead too. Oh no, all the venues are dead. Oh.
Oh yeah, we had like, a. No, go ahead.
No, you're good.
I was just going to say, we had a bar that was pretty prolific for playing bands closed down during the pandemic. It really sucked. Best Friend Bar. I don't know why that would matter to anybody but me.
It's tough.
Yeah. We almost, well, this isn't local to us, but I know Voltage Lounge almost closed.
Almost lost Auto Bar, or like we saved them.
Yeah.
What's that place in Sacktown?
Chain Reaction.
Chain Reaction, did that get saved?
Almost went down. I think they did.
Yeah. No, Chain Reaction was never good. That there's no way. That
they
might be too iconic.
Yeah.
I know. I thought that was a time where they were like...
They were about to, but then like all the bands that play there...
Yeah.
Like, all
they were
them,
like, no.
Like, it was like Stick to Your Guns, Touche Amore, like all those. They were like, nope.
Can't have that.
Saving you. Yeah, Story So Far, I think, was in there too. It was like, nah. There was no way. Like... They're too big to fail at this point, but yeah, Autobar would have been rough.
It's like we were losing venues even before pandemic,
yeah.
So that was like,
I feel like we lost more before than
we
had
have
during.
Yeah,
because during it's like none of the we lost some in DC, but they were already gone beforehand.
Right? Oh, it's like, man, fuck, I forgot. Yeah, we lost U Street.
Rock and Roll Hotel closed.
That was before.
That was before. Yeah. So
it's like yeah, before we lost Rock and Roll Hotel, we lost Strange Matter.
Strange Matter was so sick. Oh, I love that venue. We only played there once, right?
We lost. Yeah, we played there once. We lost to VFW.
We did.
Well, that was unrelated.
That was before.
That was just
bullshit.
A foul thing.
That sucks.
Like, we don't even. I'm not talking about that.
No, that sucks. Our local VFW though, it's not. We can't put shows on there.
If you know, you know. That's all I got.
Well, yeah. A very specific subset of my 40 listeners.
Yeah. maybe one or two.
We'll
know.
Let's see. I think I have a few. I have who inspired your love of music and to make music. Do you guys even want to answer that?
I mean, it's up to you. I'll answer whatever. We can just rapid fire if you want us to get through some shit instead of like talking for 10 minutes after.
Yeah. That's the thing. I don't have any questions to rapid fire.
that one we can just give like.
Well,
I mean,
we
like,
were saying rapid fire
answer. Well, rapid fire answer it.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, go ahead.
I grew up on like blues for the most part, and then I got into like old metal and shit, like Metallica, and then I got into like Slipknot and stuff, and then I went on to all the scene shit. So that was my pipeline, basically.
I mean, we can kind of combine ours. You can go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, it's like me and Caleb have the same music taste, pretty much. We just have like slightly different things, but that's what you get when you're related and you actually like each other. So, but it basically, it's just like, to keep it somewhat short, Linkin Park is important. Kanye West is important.
Fall Out Boy is important.
Silverstein is important.
Yeah. Linkin Park was one of my early ones, too. I think that's like a, I mean, not David, but out of the three of us, at least, Linkin Park was like one of those early.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, and we grew up mostly on like R&B, hip hop, soul, what have you. And then just that kind of add on necessarily that Kevin didn't as much have was just like, I was an orchestra kid. So I played in the orchestra from fifth grade up until I graduated high school. So, like, I always had, you know, like, I was playing guitar and, you know, at the same time as me playing, like, viola in the orchestra. So I had, you know, just, like, both halves of it. You know, I had I was involved in music in school and then outside of school, too. So.
And I wouldn't be playing drums if it were not for Rock Band.
Yep, that's it.
Entirely serious. As much as it is
I believe
funny,
you.
It is, it's totally real.
Well, that's what people always would say, like, oh, why play a game when you could be learning the real thing? Well, think of how many people learn the real thing.
Yeah, like, I did both.
Especially drums on Rock Band, though. It's like, if you learn the, especially with the pro charts, but even before that, it's like, if you learn the normal Rock Band drums, it's like, you at least know how to play drums.
Yeah.
Like, you might not play the song 100% perfectly, but you got the rhythms,
like,
and shit.
You get the muscle, like, memory, or just like the, like,
basic
the limb independence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And also just like playing those games. Also, it was like before, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I would be listening to music or whatever. It's just a mishmash of shit and notes and instruments.
Yeah.
But then it was like playing Guitar Hero and Rock Band was just like, oh, so there's this instrument doing this one part the whole time, and how to separate that part out, you know, while listening to it, and you know, basically it's just the whole like attentive listening to music, is what that taught me.
Yeah, I suffer from a traumatic lack of rhythm, so I hate those games so much. I took a guitar class.
Well, we can,
didn't work out for me.
You can jump on the vocals in Rock Band. There you go.
I was gonna say even prior to it was DDR.
Oh yeah, DDR, Dance Dance Revolution.
No hand-eye coordination.
I suck. That was
our first foray, because it was just like we were always playing like rhythm games, so DDR was like our first one, and then it moved on the guitar. So I want to say also that's kind of what helped us like learn like how to be rhythmic,
learn notes.
Gave you some good moves on the stage.
That's true.
Yeah.
The only other question I have is, what's your favorite food?
Favorite food.
Shit.
The food in front of me.
Yeah.
But not really.
A good steak. I like a good steak. I'm a steak guy.
Just cook chicken in some way, shape, or form. Like any form of chicken.
Fried, baked.
Baked. Grilled.
Grilled.
Seared.
Do you guys have Cane's in Virginia yet?
I don't think so.
No.
That's tragic.
Unfortunately. I know. There's like a few like southern and other like locale places that I've been to, you know, like over time that I'm like, that sucks. We don't have this.
Yeah.
Like I want Church's chicken real bad sometimes.
I wish we had Whataburger. When we went to Whataburger,
yeah, Whataburger's tight.
Was that North Carolina that we went or South Carolina?
Somewhere down
or,
there.
No, it was in Florida, I think. We went to Whataburger and I was like, fuck.
Yeah, I've had it before too. It's good.
Oh, good. And it's not like
Jack in the Box.
Yeah, Jack in the Box is good too.
Jack in the Box is like West Coast type.
Maybe
food.
I'm thinking of something else.
No, there's some in the South too.
Yeah, really? I think I had one.
Yeah.
I will say, hot take, In-N-Out is not that good.
I have nothing to say about
In-N-Out. Can't speak to that.
I've never had it.
It tastes like a cheap version of Five Guys, which is okay, but.
That hot take is not endorsed by this podcast.
Five Guys.
Yeah, Five Guys is expensive, but the thing is, it's like, it's not, it's like, I would rather just pay the extra, like, $3 to get the Five Guys. It's not a good deal.
Treat yourself.
Yeah. If I'm getting Five Guys, I'm treating myself anyway, because that's just expensive. So it's
true.
Like, Let me just do that.
I like seafood.
Seafood. Also.
Yeah.
Mac and cheese.
Mexican foods too.
I like anything tacos, that'll burritos. Make me die sooner, that's the food I tend to gravitate towards. Yep. Not for that reason, but just, you know.
Just we're eating good. Healthy. We're all gonna die.
Yeah.
True. You guys are speaking my language.
Oh man. I feel
it. Oh man, I like apples. I like Brussels sprouts.
I'm a big fan of celery. carrots. Yeah.
What's your opinion on Little Caesar's pizza?
It's good.
It's fine.
One fucking tweet. I always think about that. Little Caesars ain't bad when you don't have a bitch telling you.
I love that tweet. I'm going to love that tweet.
You know, it's funny because Sammy, my girlfriend, loves Little Caesars, and I could not give a fuck about it at all. But it's
Little Caesars is reliable as shit. That's
true. All yeah.
It's the backbone.
It's fine. But
it's there for you when
it's mid, and sometimes the mid hits, and I get it, but I just don't.
I was trying to remember. Didn't they say like that man, like the owner or something of Little Caesars, was like paying off Rosa Parks rent for like years?
Yep. Yeah. Right. I heard about that.
He's a real one.
All right.
Little Caesars said BLM, bro.
Okay.
Yeah.
Y'all trying to get Little Caesars after this, I guess? Hey,
no.
Man.
No.
See? This is my point. You're still not trying to get
There's it. There's a time and place for Little Caesars. Come on, now,
five,
not that
$5
time.
$5 hot and ready, man. I'm hot and ready.
This isn't actually a music podcast. This is actually just a Little Caesars podcast.
This is
hot ones. We have hotter hot questions and even hotter wings.
Wow.
This is Pulse's food review.
My fucking God. I was thinking, like, if there was, like, a post-hardcore podcast hosted by, like, a Nardwar-type dude. But he just knows, like, tons of shit
the one that we did where they...
Happy Fun Music Time.
Was it Happy Fun Music Time? Yeah, they hit us with the fucking old band name.
It wasn't even, like, published very much at all.
Within the first, like, minute of the interview, too. It was like, oh, shit. Well,
I would love to see it. I don't know. See, I'm going to go there. Like, if we had a Nardwar for the scene, he might find things they didn't want to.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
That's true.
No one would want to talk to
him. He'd be digging too much.
I love Nardwar.
Okay, that was all we needed.
Brian Stars. A hero.
Legend. Man.
Imagine if Brian Stars, like, was in the podcast era. Like,
oh my God. The Brian Stars podcast.
Does anyone know what happened to him? Did he just disappear?
He got caught up in a scandal because he was basically like stealing money from that like collab channel he was doing. And then it turned out that it was just a whole big thing. And he was also like in his 20s just hanging out with a bunch of like 16 years old and 17 year olds. It was just weird. Like, it was, I don't
hey,
think he was doing anything
tradition.
It was just weird. Yeah, it was just weird. So then, and then he just got bullied off the internet, pretty much.
Man. It's probably for the better.
Yeah. I love that video of that guy that makes him cry.
Never shall never. Yeah.
I think...
Oh, no. I can't out him like that because it was in his Patreon group. I'll leave that one. But Shane said something about Brian Stars the other day, and it was really funny. Nice. But I can't.
I think about that video every time I'm about to interview someone.
I hope this interview doesn't make me cry.
Let us come on again. We'll bully you.
Ow.
Damn.
Little Caesar sucks. What? I thought you guys
liked it. Why don't you ask us some real fucking questions about our art, okay? That was what he was talking about, right? He's like, oh, we want to talk about our art.
What does the bird on bouquet mean?
Yeah.
What does it mean? What does it represent?
Yeah.
Nah. What does a period in pulses mean?
Signifies the end of time and space. And
it signifies, you know, if you have a period at the end of your pulse, that means you're dead.
Oh.
Oh.
Does it?
I guess that's what it means.
Seems
now.
Seems plausible.
Yeah.
So keep the pulses going.
Keep the All pulses right. going. Seems like a good thing to end on.
Yeah, that's it right there.
Do you guys want to shout out some stuff?
Yeah, what do we got?
When's
this coming out?
Probably Wednesday.
Sweet. Like, usually we do these and they're like, oh, it'll come out in like 3 months.
Yeah, and we're like, all right, cool. We'll spill all our secrets, I guess. Because it'll be out by the time. But
if it's coming out Wednesday, shout out to ourselves on Wednesday.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. Do you have any... Kevin usually at the end of the podcast decides what he wants to leak and what he wants to not leak. So,
oh.
Looking at him.
I don't really know if we have anything to leak right now. I would just stay on the lookout for, like, you know, you were talking earlier about Beak Era. I would just be on the lookout for that to end. So
okay,
that's all I got. So that'll
on the lookout for it to end.
Yep.
Yep. And then because Speaking of Existence turns one this month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're trying to, you know, cap it off around there.
Okay, okay. Yeah. You hear that, loyal listeners?
There will be listeners. An extravaganza of sorts and
a celebration.
We will celebrate our stuff.
Yep.
Well, damn, that sounds pretty cool. That's yeah. epic.
So tune in.
Yeah, tune in. You know, keep looking out. Well, when it's time for you to know, you'll know.
The only reason I'm not announcing it is just because it's not done yet.
Yeah. Don't want to get ourselves caught up.
Yeah, exactly. That's really what it is.
All right.
Because there's been numerous times where we'll be like, oh yeah, this is coming out like Wednesday, and then it'll be Tuesday night, and we're still working on it.
So we're not going to get caught up, but there will be an extravaganza of sorts around. I keep hitting Matt's guitar and I'm scared.
Oh, within good. This month.
Within this month, yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, be on the lookout for something Speak It Into Existence related in a month.
Yes.
Hit us on the socials.
On the socials.
Pulses va.
Pulses va.
Yep.
Anything else you guys got to shout out?
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God. You. Thank you. That's so nice. Course.
Thanks for letting us be the more today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The more, and more.
Oh. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck did I miss?
We put out an EP last month. It's called Speak Less.
Yep.
And it's cool. Also, we put out a year ago, Speaking to Existence almost. Play that shit into each other because it loops with each other, so do that shit.
Yep.
Does it really?
It does. Yes,
it does.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I think we've only like tweeted about it like once.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, it does go into each other.
That's cool.
So,
yeah. Cool. That's so fucking sick.
Yeah.
All right. If you're on this podcast and you like this podcast, I have another podcast called Lad's Movie Night, so you should check that out. It's me and my friends talking about movies. Some that you should not watch. So, yeah. Thanks for coming on the show, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Looking forward to all your new music.
Us too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks again for having us.
Yeah.
All right.